Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. Do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a Magic Wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the Magic Wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades, and I've been obsessed with my Magic Wand. I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago, because now there are multiple iterations of the Magic Wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the Magic Wand Rechargeable, tiny with the Magic Wand Mini or Micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by hosts of the new podcast, Screwed Up Stories, Rachel O'Brien and Christine Blackburn, and we're talking about screwing. Topics include, we all have messed up stories, but that doesn't mean we're messy people. Dating, what the rules really are. And here's a hint, they look different for everyone. How to initiate sex and actually have it without excuses. And ways to make your orgasms even more intense. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Secret institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. You can easily subscribe to the podcast, and you can check out all the posts and all the things we have happening on the site. As always, love when you follow us on social media, at Sex with Emily, across the board, which you really want to do right now. If you're not already, I'm sure you are. But if you're not, we've got some amazing giveaways happening for Valentine's Day and beyond. First one is you can check out our Foria Awaken giveaway. We're giving away 4 bottles of Foria Awaken, which is a CBD pre-lube that just makes sex a lot hotter, makes you more aroused, turns you on. We've talked a lot about Foria on the show, but we're giving it away. From now until Valentine's Day, email feedback@sexwithemily.com with the subject Foria giveaway and tell us why Foria will help jumpstart your sex life. Please include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Giveaway number 2, Woo More Play giveaway. Woo More Play is the most delicious coconut oil lube that is great for massage. It tastes delicious, and it's just the most sensual, sexy thing. So I'm excited because we're giving it away. So follow me on Instagram at Sex with Emily. Screenshot you listening to the show. Wherever you listen, upload it to your story. Tag at Sex with Emily and write one sentence on why you love the podcast. We'll be putting it on our story on Instagram and choosing a couple people to win Woo More Play, one of my latest lube obsessions. So when we say a screenshot of you listening to the show, it could just be a screenshot of the show if you don't want to put your photo in it. But if it's you listening, to do a selfie of you listening, I'm cool with that too. All right, guys. Hope you enjoy. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Enjoy the show. I've got special guests in the studio, Rachel O'Brien and Christine Blackburn.
Hooray.
Welcome to the show. They're from the podcast Screwed Up Stories, but they also have many things going on in their lives. And Rachel was on the show like the first week. Were you
here?
Yeah,
I think so, yeah.
Comedian and a friend, and Christine's a new friend, storytelling coach, producer, host, and now the new podcast.
All that stuff.
All the things.
Yes.
I loved being on it. I told a screwed up story.
It was a great story.
It was. Okay. I did. I didn't know. And then there was a whole thing. I told a story about when my ex-boyfriend was a doctor. I got bit by a black widow and had to end up in the hospital. And he was my doctor in the emergency room. So you guys can check out their podcast.
It's impossible. But it happened.
No, it really did happen.
Especially because he never worked that shift. Like, you did not expect to see him.
All the things lined up. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Perfect
I'm
storm.
Like, he never works that shift. And then why was he there? And all the things. So tell me, how did you guys come up with Screwed Up Stories? Like, what is that? It's a good
Well, you know, it's idea. Funny because the original idea that we had was The Screw, which would kind of be like The View, but The Screw. So it's 4 women of different generations talking about sex in the way that they do on The View, but it's The Screw.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's a really good idea.
Right, but when it all shook down, you can't get The Screw on...
Someone already had taken the name.
Yeah, I
like
mean,
right
course.
Before we decided like to take it to Westwood One, someone had just started a podcast like a month before.
And of course, name. It's a porno, you know, podcast, and it really isn't, it's not good. It's, you know, and it's sort of a drag that they kind of took that name. But anyway, that's where it started, was
okay.
The Screw. And then Rachel's the one that came up with, wait a minute. So let's talk about the screw, screwed up. We've all screwed up. Screwed up stories. Mm-hmm. Let's go there.
And we don't necessarily have to just focus on sex. It can be any type of screwed up story, like how you've screwed up or how someone screwed you over or, you know.
Yeah, and everybody's got that story.
They do, but do you feel like a lot of the screwed up stories, why they always seem to be about sex and dating anyway, right?
Most of them have been about men. There have been a few that weren't. Let me think. There was one about this girl, Carrie Martin, whose aunt tried to murder her uncle. By injecting his, he had just gotten surgery, and she injected his IV vein thingy, whatever, with fecal matter, and got arrested and convicted of trying to murder him. But then they got back together later. He forgave her.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's so crazy. Like
they're back together.
And then we've had other people on, like comedian Kathy Ladman, and she talked about her eating disorder. And, you know, and screwing up that way. So there's all different, all different things. And the idea is that when we all get together and talk about these things, we find that we have so much in common.
Mm-hmm. We really do.
It doesn't matter how old you are as a woman, if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, or as a man, we all screw up. And it's just, it's comforting.
It is comforting when you can
fun.
Really, it is fun
it's
to fun tell
to
the stories.
About it later.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like relatable. And when we're all real and we're all walking around, like pretending that we're so perfect or whatever people do to show that we all can relate to these different whatever challenges in our life.
Yeah.
But let's go back to sex at the different ages, because we have a lot of different women in the room tonight. This is the most we've had. We had everyone on the mic earlier, and my team is growing, which is great. But God, sex changes all the time, and we never have a lot of, like, you guys in your 20s, 40s, 30s.
I'm in my 50s.
50s. Okay. So let's just do our version of screwed.
I got to tell you, sex doesn't go away. Do you know what I mean? Like the sex appetite, the sexual appetite or the desire or the fact that you can and still have pleasure no matter what age you are. Orgasms are always there.
Exactly.
They're ageless.
So you never had any change. We have a lot of women who call it like sex drive wanes and it changes. But I think you're right. I think that 50, I mean,
I think it does get better.
Because you know, because you get more honest with yourself and you're able to communicate better and say, like, hey, look, we're adults here. Let's just talk about it. Here's what I like. What do you like?
Don't you wish you could tell your younger self that, and we could tell everyone listening? Like, I believe that guys were supposed to figure it out, that they knew how to work my body better than I did, and I didn't know to speak up. But you're right. You get older, you're like, hey. Let's not, except for if you're like Jamie, 25, she already speaks up right away. But I feel like...
You probably trained her, though.
She came pre-lubed,
but she's not pre-lubed. But it's true. But what you know now is like just your body, confidence, all those things, right?
And I happen to have a guy that I'm dating, and he actually told me, thank you so much for telling me what you want. He's like, this is the best sex I've ever had in my life because you're talking to me.
Exactly. It's just as simple as talking about it. That is such
It's very empowering.
It probably is the best because we assume we give men all this power that like they should figure it out.
It's a lot of pressure to put on them too.
It is a lot of pressure, technically. I know. How about you, Rachel? How's it going with you and your sex life? I mean, I knew her recently, but she's very orgasmic. I know.
I've always just
she has a lot of orgasms and amazing
sex.
It's
like always it's been
kind
easy
of annoying.
For me.
That's a good thing.
It
man.
Is
just because I never put too much pressure on it. It was never like performative in bed or like I just. Enjoyed it. I never think about does my body look bad right now? It's like, why not enjoy it?
But that's hard for a lot of women.
It is hard for a lot of women to be selfish or self-conscious
about your body, whether you feel like you have a little too much weight here or there, or you're not toned enough, or you don't like
guys
the way.
Don't care.
I know.
They're
I know.
Happy you're there.
Guys, exactly. They do not
so
care.
True.
I think we're going to solve a lot of problems tonight for people listening. For a lot of people who have body image and they're worrying, if someone's in bed with you, they're having sex with you, and you're having a good time, get out of your head.
Absolutely. You know, I was just listening to you in the last hour, and you were talking about giving blowjobs and how you have to make eye contact and all that. And some women might be like, oh, I'm too embarrassed, I'm too whatever. And it's like, you can't be that way.
No,
you're already there. You're already naked with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Right. What are you hiding?
Exactly.
Like, eye contact is like the last holdout. Like, I'm literally like...
If I look at him, it might not actually be happening
right now. Exactly. If I look at you, then it's real. So I'm not going to look right now. You're absolutely right. But eye contact is such it's interesting how intimate eye contact is.
Yeah.
And it just shouldn't be that way. So the other thing we were talking about earlier, I want to get your guys' take on this. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the rules in dating, how it used to... I want to know what you guys think, if it's changed that... Back in the day, maybe, that it was that if women slept with someone, that there should be a rule that women should wait before they sleep with someone. And we're talking about heterosexual. I mean, it goes across the board, but people have rules. Wait 3 months. Wait. What do you think about that?
Go ahead,
sleeping together. Do you think it's ever too soon?
I mean, I have heard, because I've asked guy friends this and couples this, and I have heard stories across the board from like having a, like hooking up on the first date and now they're married to, well, here's the thing. This is the most important part of it, I think, at least for me, is that I don't think you're going to get someone to commit to you just by holding out. So if that's your goal, if your intention is to sort of like trick someone into being with you, I think that that is not a good idea.
Right.
And it's never going to be for the right reasons. And it's never, that's never going to work.
That's not the right reason.
Yeah, that's not
never going to work.
Yeah. Like, so when people do that, like, well, if I you know, make him wait for 3 months and then he'll want to be my boyfriend, and then it's like, that's never going to last.
But playing games and stuff. But that being said, once you go that far, almost every time you're going to see him after that, that's kind of where you need to go again, if not more. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't really, if you have sex on the first date, then the next date, you can't just be like, let's go to first base, we're done here.
Yeah, I never really.
You can.
I think, see, my thing is that it's, if you can wait, you just met someone, you can't wait to rip their clothes off, maybe make out a little longer, do everything, mm-hmm. but, so then there's that, you build the tension, and then for mm-hmm. next time, you can see, I think mm-hmm. it's better to wait as long as you can, if you, because that could be really hot to get to know them a little better, but.
Yeah. Well,
that's like a good reason to wait. But yeah. then, like, I agree with Rachel. If you're just waiting to, like, be like, I'm going to lock them in this way, yeah. then it's just like, yeah, that's, you're not ridiculous. Solving anything. Yeah.
How about playing games at all, though? I'm going to lock someone in if I don't call them back or don't text or seem less available.
Yeah, what all of that. But that comes with maturity, too. That's, I mean, what you, I think, can't too. Say to, well, now, Jamie, you're different. You're above and beyond 25. I mean, at least in your experience, it seems. But I think that a lot of girls that are 19, 20, 25, mm-hmm. even 30, that they are still maturing and still learning. I mean, what are mm-hmm. the, you know, how to navigate and to have confidence.
I don't know. Those games have never worked for me. Every time I tried to do it, because basically I think that when you have to play those games, it means the person's probably not that interested. Because usually mm-hmm. when the dating happens smoothly, you don't have to play those games.
I'm totally in agreement with you, Rachel. I feel like the same thing. I had one guy a few years ago, I had a friend, she was like, you got to play the game. And she was like coaching me. This was a long time. I was like, what? And she was like, well, don't text back. Don't double text. I'm like, this is all ridiculous. And then the guys who you're into, like, it's natural. There's mm-hmm. no, they're calling. They're not being like, I'm not going to call you for 3 days.
Guys are not nearly as complicated as women, mm-hmm. for sure.
Right.
We're convoluting things, I think, more mm-hmm. than men are. Now, I just listened to your podcast a couple of weeks ago, and you guys were talking about the 5 stages of dating.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Jamie and Emily, you guys were both talking about how that first stage, you know, when you want to rip each other's clothes off,
yep.
is so fun.
It's mm-hmm. so fun.
So that's the stage I like to stay in.
Right. We all want to stay.
For as long as possible.
How can we all stay in that stage? How do you keep that going, right? I mean, that is the goal. I mean, it's not. I don't think it works. I don't think you can stay there forever. But yeah, part of delaying, I guess delaying sex, not purposely, but doing mm-hmm. everything else and getting mm-hmm. to know each other is that newness. And yeah. that
delaying
stage.
Gratification.
Delaying gratification. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then for women too, a lot of us, it's just like our brains is what turned us on, or the thinking, the sexy thoughts, fantasies. What about you guys? Do you masturbate? Have fantasies?
Who doesn't masturbate? How could you not? Everybody
okay,
does,
well,
right?
Thank you. Well, you know, I got to tell you something, Christine. It's a really good question. Yes, I do. We do. I feel that I have to remind women to masturbate a lot. I mean, like, not men. They've got that down.
Yeah.
I have to be like, no, it's cool. You're like on the bus. You don't need to masturbate. But with women, they're like, because a lot of women are disconnected from their bodies, or they think it's not right, or I should wait for my partner to turn me on. But yes, you know, the more you masturbate, the more in the mood you're going to be. But I love, you're like, who doesn't?
Well, I have to say, like, if I'm going to have a date that night, or I think I'm going to anticipate sex, I'm not going to masturbate that day, because then it kind of makes it harder later, I think. So I think it depends on, everybody's looking at me with these glued
eyes. I thought that was different for women. I thought it was the opposite. Like, it's once you, like, sort of get in the mood, it's yeah. easier.
But Rachel, you just came out in the waiting room. I mean, I know. No, I'm just saying that, you know, it's one of those things. You know, when you let the floodgates open and you have this strong orgasm, and then 3 hours later, 5 hours later, you're having sex with your boyfriend or your husband. I don't know. For me, it's a little bit harder.
Right. Okay. So maybe not the same day.
Not the same day.
Day of. Right. Yeah. I feel like the more I just do it, I feel like I can still come again. But for me, it's like frequency, like a few times a week, to keep my pilot light lit. Yeah. So sex mm-hmm. is top of mind. And so for a lot of women, they just don't think about it. And then mm-hmm. they're like, why is my libido so low? It's because mm-hmm. you're not charging the engine.
Yeah.
So I think that's important. Did you always know that, to masturbate? It was always a thing?
I didn't know that until I was about 26 years old. And I was married when I was very young, like 25. And a year after I was married, my ex-husband got another girl pregnant while we were married.
Oh, wow.
And you know, this is so fun. This is kind of just occurring to me now.
Oh,
so
I love it.
He's out. He's gone, right? And now I'm in the apartment by myself. And he has taken all of his stuff, but he's left some things, right? The bottom of the closet, the top of the closet, there's some shit. And I'm going through it, and I find a vibrator.
In his stuff?
In his stuff, right? And I never saw that before. So I take that vibrator, and that's the first time it occurred to me, oh, shit, this is Eureka.
Way to get back at him.
Eureka. Right? And that was like such a moment, but I was only, I was 26. I should have known better. I should have known earlier.
No, people don't know. I didn't know until I was 20-something. I was having sex, and I was like, what is the big, I'm not having orgasms. I never masturbated. It never occurred to me. Now, that's a pretty good age, I think. Yeah. And then, do you still use vibrators?
Sure.
Oh, good. What's your favorite?
Sure. I don't think it has a name. Okay. I think it's just that thing that buzzes. In the,
all right, it buzzes. Yeah.
And are you sure it's not something else? I've got, like, it's my electric toothbrush.
A lot of women use that.
They
really?
Use electric toothbrushes.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that too. They take off the brush part, the top part, and then just use the anchor of the. I'm not saying
I'd be resourceful. Those people would survive in prison, I think.
They would survive in prison.
They're just very resourceful.
For a lot of women, yeah. their first orgasm was like using their electric toothbrush. Yeah. I'm not going to recommend that to people. It could be
well, at least if you're going to do that, buy a separate one for your mouth.
Yeah.
That's all I would
or
say.
Or just buy a vibrator. You
know yeah. I mean? But people are like, they don't know. They're like,
they don't know. They're like, oh, vibrations. They feel great.
What's the word for when you use household items?
Pervertible.
Yeah.
What? I've never heard that.
Well, because, you know, it's my
job. Is that an actual word?
It's an actual, well, it's an urban dictionary. Pervertible.
Did you trademark that?
No, but I should get on it. Yeah. A pervertible is like if you use a spatula to spank your partner, or you use like tube socks to as a blindfold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also resourceful.
Exactly. So
a belt to restrain.
A belt to restrain. What, have you guys ever used any pervertibles around the house?
Gosh, no. Now I got to think about it.
I know, right?
No, I haven't.
Well, there was that one flipper, that one pancake flipper I had.
You actually did?
Well, no, I didn't.
No, but now she might.
But now I might because I like the thwack of it. Yeah. The thwack.
Exactly. You know? It's a good thwack. Gosh. Just be careful.
Very quick side story. Yes. I went on a date with someone like maybe a year ago. Really nice date. And I appreciated that he brought this up right away, but I was stunned. So we're on the date. It's great. And he says to me, he's like, I have to tell you something. And I was like, okay, cool. And he's like, I'm into BDSM and I cannot date someone or move forward with someone who's not. And I was like, okay, you want to tell me more? And he was very specifically into spanking. It was like, and he explained it all to me. But he was very mature about it. He was just like, this is what I have to do. If you can't, then we don't need to keep hanging out, but I really like you. And I was like, can I think about it?
Yeah.
Like this little pressure.
The only way he could get off?
It's just, that was his life. It was a lifestyle for him. It's like
that's, Christian Grey. He did the same thing.
Yeah.
It's Anastasia, if you read Fifty Shades.
We did not go out again. And not that, just because I just didn't think I'd be into it. But I was like, that was kind of ballsy and cool that he brought it up right away.
But that's what you should, here's what that's what I would like everybody to do. I believe that BDSM, you know, the community, like they're very, they know consent really well. They're like, I actually require this for orgasm and arousal. And so I'm not going to mess around with someone who's not going to be into
it.
And I really wish that we could get a lot of people on board with knowing what they're into and figuring out if you're sexually compatible before you get married, before you commit for years and have all these sexual challenges. Like there's a lot of things that we kind of just don't talk about because we get older, we're more confident. But I just wish we could all learn to do that sooner than later.
But by the time you get married, I mean, you should definitely have these conversations.
Right.
I mean, getting married, you're committing, and then it gets harder to disengage, or it gets harder, and then there's a kid, and then things just spin out of control. You got to get it under wraps before.
Is that how commitment. Is you were married, right?
I've been married twice.
Okay. And how was, what have you learned about sex and marriage?
Well, I'll tell you.
Tell me, Christine.
It's hard, man. It's hard. Marriage is hard.
It is hard.
It takes a lot of work.
Have you been married?
No.
I just heard you talking to that caller on the phone, the woman who has five children. And I think it was on the podcast I was listening to of you. And it was a woman with five children. And you were trying to, you know, give her different ideas of, you know, getting stimulated in the bedroom again. But think about that. Five kids. To have any privacy at all.
You would never. And you wouldn't get to go to the bathroom alone.
Where do you put your sex toys? You almost would have to have like a safe or a thing, or it's hard, man.
Yeah, it is. No, that is the problem, is that, well, we do have a solution for that. We have something called the UV, side note. It stores, cleans, and sanitizes your toys, and it has a lockbox on it. It charges your toys, and it cleans your cell phone, your makeup brushes. It's this beautiful box that I leave next to my bed. So if you have kids, I'm not kidding.
That's
Jamie's gonna pull it out of the garage. We should put this on the Instagram stories because it's pretty awesome.
How cool.
I just can't help when we've got something for that. I'm like, I need to tell you. But the other thing is, here's the thing. It is no secret that when you get married and have kids, that sex is going to be put on the back burner. It's going to be hard to keep it as hot. You're not having sex on the living room floor, but it still has to be something that you continue to talk about. But I don't, marriage was never, you know, who knows? Kids, too, for me, too, was never a thing.
Have you ever been engaged?
No.
Interesting. Have you been asked, has somebody asked you to marry them?
No. I've been in relationships, but it was never really my goal. It was never anything that seemed interesting to me. I was never in a place where I felt like I wanted to get married.
But haven't men in the past talked to you like, Emily, I see us, yes, this and this and this and this.
And then I'd be like, I don't see that. So I'm glad we're talking right about
That's
it.
That's very honest.
It is very honest.
So
and I think,
cool.
Yeah, sorry. Is that cool? It's called the UV, UVEE.
It's like a mini tanning bed.
It looks like a mini tanning bed.
It does look like a mini tanning bed. Like your Barbie could go in there, but right? And it turns on and it literally in 10, is it 5 minutes? It cleans the toys.
Is
10
it
minutes?
Heat or yeah. steam?
It's UV light.
UV light.
And like it's the cool, and it locks in.
You
us.
Put That's your amazing. Electric toothbrush right in there. You can. You know.
Well, there you go. Then I'm down with it.
That's what I'm saying.
But no, for me, it's funny because my whole history is a whole interesting other thing, but I was always about like, I've always started a career and it was always about like, how am I going to have a big difference and change in the world and have a career and start a business since I was graduating from college. And I didn't understand how you still keep your independence. How do you do it all?
How do you
have a kid and get married and change the world? Mm-hmm. I didn't understand how you could do it. And now I'm at a place where, you know, I think that I figured out a lot of stuff with work and it's good that I would like to be in a longer term relationship. I mean, I've been in a lot of long term relationships. And maybe marriage, but again, my brain was not normal. Mm-hmm.
But now that your career is kind of on a nice path and going in an upward trajectory, maybe it might change that for you, that aspect. Because now, at the end of the night, you might be able to relax. And,
yeah.
Because I'm kind of in that place where I can't commit again because I've just been burned too many times in the past. And how can I concentrate on this show, this show, this show, and this show that I'm trying to run?
Right.
And then worry about pleasing you. I want to be with you, but I don't know how to fulfill that side of things.
Exactly. And you also are a mom.
I'm a mom.
Right?
Yeah.
You have a daughter?
She turned 12 yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday. Mm-hmm.
She's a good girl. She's a good girl. And I tell her, I try so hard to keep sex as the conversation that keeps on going and ongoing.
I'm so
it's
glad.
Not, it's not one conversation.
That's exactly
it's
it.
Ongoing. And like recently she asked me, what is virgin? What does virginity mean? And I told her, that it most likely, women most likely lose their virginity between the ages of 28 and 34.
I love that you're keeping it straight. Yeah.
So
I love
that it's real. Yeah, it's very real.
I love that. Speaking to it straight. No, it is important to talk to your... You're right. I always say it's an ongoing thing. It's not a one time. You know, because these people say, oh, we had the talk. My parents had the talk
with me.
Oh,
my gosh.
I don't know that my parents ever had a talk
with me. Me neither.
I don't remember it. Mm-mm.
Right.
Yeah,
that's exactly
really
what
don't.
Happens. But anyway, going back to the career thing, we talked about this last night, having it all, and it is hard to do, but I think... I used to think that being in a relationship took away like the power, my power, but now I understand.
I think it can be a good compliment.
It's your time.
It's your my time. It's mm-hmm. where your energy is being spent. And then you think about a guy that you really like or care about or love. You think like, well, he deserves more time.
Right.
But if you date someone that's equally as busy, I think that's fine. But I get your mentality where marriage has never been on the forefront of my mind. Like I've never thought about what my wedding day would be. I've never thought about like, I've just never thought about it.
Right.
And I could see myself in like 10 years being like, oh, maybe I should have thought about that more because I've just been same thing. So career focused. Well, it's all I care about.
Right. Exactly.
Dating and I like having someone with me.
Right.
And maybe I'd like to be married, but it's just not, it's never been something I cared about.
It's very interesting to think about. Is it because there's this, because I always felt like I also didn't have the biological clock, which isn't really a real thing. I think mm-hmm. it's a psychological clock where you're thinking a lot about kids and family and marriage. So maybe there is something to that, to thinking like, when you're really thinking like, do I picture myself mm-hmm. married and what would that look like? So it's still there, even if it's not the wedding, but mm-hmm. so then your career doesn't, like I don't have any, we also talked, this is last night, regrets about it. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. I really feel like I've always been, stay true to myself, but I feel like, it's just interesting to think, do I really
weird
want
if
it both
never,
ways?
Yeah, and it's weird if you've never pictured it. Like, right. I can picture and I can have vivid, like, visuals of what my future career is going to be like. I can picture, like, this is crazy, but I think I'm winning an Academy Award. I can picture what it feels like to be there. I can feel, like, what it feels like to stand there, like, everything about it. I cannot picture being married to someone. I don't know what, I can't picture it at all.
That's interesting.
Never like crossed my mind. Yeah.
I think for a lot of younger women, at least for me, it was like I had these numbers in my head. Like I got to be married by 25. I got to be, you know, and I got to have a kid by this age. And then that all falls apart, of course. But I think part of it is that you're thinking about not just the guy, you're thinking about the house, and there's going to be a garage, and here's what we're going to do for Christmas, and we're going to do the vacations, we're going to do this dog. So you're picturing more than just a husband, you're picturing this life. And how could I live in that house without some help?
How
could I afford that? So therefore, I got to take this path. And like I have four older sisters, and that's the path they took. So to me, that sounds logical.
Right, of course. And that's how your life was set up. They were all doing it. Your parents were. A lot of it has to do with that, too. Your parents, how you grew up, what you saw. Like, my parents were divorced. My mom never said, I expect you to get married. She never asked me, never pressured me at all. Like, and I think there's a lot. Again, your upbringing, society.
And, it used to be more about where you live as well in terms of mentality. But now with social media, and now that we're all a little more connected, maybe that doesn't matter as much.
It's changing a lot. I have to say that this millennial generation, it feels like, right? It's all millennials. Mm-hmm. That it is a little bit different that you guys are kind of delaying. You're not.
They're smarter.
Oriented towards that.
They're smarter.
Yeah, I mean, they're just saying, like, people are just waiting longer because, one, a lot of millennials are in debt and they don't want to get married in debt. And also, they just feel like they want to have their career set in stone before they decide to settle down with, like, a whole other person.
Yeah. And I never felt like, that was the other thing, was like, I never realized it. I never thought that someone else was going to take care of me. Like, I was raised that, like, don't rely on anyone to take care of you. You got to make it. And then I chose a career that's very challenging. And so anyway, but I think these are all changing, these messages, right?
I think so too. But let's say you're like a nurse, like a regular job, and you make good money. You can really live anywhere as a nurse or a teacher maybe. So then you got that. So then what? In other words, we're talking about careers about, like, show business, which never ends. Yeah. And you're going to be, ends. You could be dropped hardest tomorrow job ever. And you could be dropped, you know, and there's never a guarantee. There's no not necessarily even going to be a payoff.
Right, exactly.
And so but let's say you're a nurse or a teacher, you know, like regular.
Regular person.
You get that
like
under your belt, and then civilian. It's like, okay, what's next?
Right,
so exactly. It's not for some people, right. It kind of makes sense.
And it depends also where you live. I'm from Michigan, right. That's true. Okay, you guys, I have to ask you both the five quickie questions.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're going to go back and forth here. All right, biggest turn on, Christine.
Oh, gosh. Bodies.
All right.
Like, in terms of, like, athleticism.
Okay.
I like an athlete.
Biggest turn on?
Confidence.
Okay. Biggest turn off?
Bodies.
That's such a good one.
Not taking care of yourself, not working out. I know what that is because I work out all the time, and I like that. That's just
same.
My thing.
Get it. Biggest turn off?
Being shitty to people.
Okay. Celebrity crush?
Oh, my gosh. There's so many.
I think you had Peter Frampton like a couple weeks ago on the podcast. Well, Frampton comes alive.
And I was in, that's so true, when I was growing up, I had a picture of Peter Frampton on my wall and a picture of Henry Winkler. You know, when he was the Fonz.
Yeah,
that was the shit, man. That was the shit. But if I had to have a poster on my wall now, and in fact, I just recently gave this poster away. That's how mature I am. That's Rafael Nadal. Oh, baby Jesus.
Know. Okay.
He's a world-class tennis player.
Oh,
the king
yes.
of clay.
He's hot. I've seen him. Yep.
Oh, my God.
Tom Hardy.
Okay. Mm, yeah.
Family
okay.
men.
Craziest place you've had sex?
Well, I was a flight attendant for like 7 years. So, you know, I guess I'm going to say the plane. Not that other
Did
people
have Did you have it on
that.
The plane
I've
with a passenger? I
always wondered how people do that.
Oh, with a passenger?
Oh, yo, here it is. Two words.
Pilot?
Diaper deck. You go in the lab that has the diaper deck. Do you know what I'm saying?
I don't know. You go in and then
the
someone
deck,
follows
it,
you.
It's like a tray
right,
table
like
that comes down
time
over
that
the
you
toilet.
Have to have.
It's only like a germs. Small window, maybe 90 seconds. I go to the bathroom first. Then you come up, knock a little bit, and then I'm letting you in. Pull down the diaper deck. And there's always a little thing on for parents to know where to change the baby. There's a little thing on the lav door that will show you, oh, this one has the diaper deck. You go in there, you pull that down, you sit up there.
Wow.
And we're right in line. Look at you. You're getting
membership.
The all my
membership to the Mile High Club just skyrocketing right now.
A giver, Ken.
Wow. Okay. Craziest place you've ever had sex, Rachel.
Maybe a car.
Right.
That's all
okay.
I can think
That's
of.
Not crazy.
I know. I can't think of anything else.
All right. How about your biggest dating deal breaker? That's the last
biggest
question.
Biggest dating. Cheating, probably.
Cheating?
Yeah.
All right.
Cheating, lying.
Yeah.
All the things.
I hate when people litter, stupid stuff like that. Like, if I'm with a guy and all of a sudden...
I agree with you. Littering
who
shows
Who still
that you
litters? That's so 80s.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah. That's so 80s. Littering just shows that you think you're more important than everyone else in the world.
Littering in.
And, okay, you guys, thank you so much. You guys are awesome. Thank you for being here. Okay, at Rachel O'Brien. Rachel, we're gonna put this all in the show notes.
Okay.
At Screwed Ups, most importantly, at Screw Stories.
Exactly.
On Instagram. Screwed Up Stories is their podcast. It's hilarious. They're very talented women here. You gotta check them out and support them. Rachel O'Brien, Christine Blackburn. It's rachelobriencomedy.com, christineblackburn.com. We'll also put this in the show notes at sexwithemily.com so you guys can see them, what we're talking about. We're going to post some photos on Instagram, and then we got to go. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into your emails. Hey guys, love answering your questions. It's why I do what I do. If you want a question answered on the show, go to my website, sexwithemily.com, click the Ask Emily tab, fill out the short form, or email feedback@sexwithemily.com. As always, include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Thanks, guys. Okay, Jamie's here. She's going to read the emails.
Okay, this first one comes to us from Kirsten, 23 in Wisconsin. She writes, Dear Emily, my boyfriend and I have been together for over 6 years. He's my high school sweetheart and best friend. Our sex life when we started dating was great, but as time went on, it dropped off. Around September of last year, we talked about how our lives have been, including sex, and we said that we wanted to improve things, and if it didn't, we would break up. I've tried some things you've said, texting him sexy texts to play around and tease him, spontaneous sex when he gets home and trying to surprise him. I've been trying to be more adventurous, but almost every time I get the answer, I don't want to do work, or I don't want to be intimate, just suck it and bend over.
Ugh.
We've tried toys and he always hurts me with them. We've tried anal penetration. It wasn't my thing. I've tried masturbating in front of him and it still doesn't seem to be enough. I'd even love mutual masturbation. He isn't open to that. What would you suggest for things to do that might make our sex life more fun and sexy? Also, am I wrong for feeling like I'm doing it all and he isn't?
Whoa. Okay, Kirsten, this is a doozy because here's the thing. If I had like a Sex With Emily greatest hits tips, you did them all, honey. You are doing a lot of work here. And no, to answer your question, you're not wrong at all for feeling like you're doing it all and he isn't. He's not doing anything except for saying suck over and bend it, which Jamie and I both went, ugh. And you know me, I'm open, you guys. I understand. I'm not there. I can't judge your relationship. I don't know you both. But that to me is just not a kind thing at all to say. And I would not tolerate that. But I never want to say to any of you guys, well, this isn't for you. You know, like I said, I haven't met you. I know that you love him. And our first love, this is your first love, Kirsten. It's the deepest kind of love. And it's the first time we learn. Our heart opens and we just can't imagine anything else. And it can be really hard to think of our life without this person. So I just want to say that you're both still really young. You have a lot of life skills, a lot of learning to do, even outside the bedroom. But in the bedroom, you guys have, you're each other's only experience. And so you're doing the right things. He just, you know, he might not be hearing what you're saying. He may not really understand it. I don't like it all that you're having pain during sex and you must be exhausted from all these efforts. I think that you want to know that you've done everything before you decide if a relationship is over. So I know you've tried to have conversations, but you have to remember that if you have said to him, I want to spice things up, and you both agreed to it, you got to have the conversation again. Sex conversations are not a one-time thing. So it's about all the things I say, and I know you listen carefully to the show, Kirsten, but talking to him outside the bedroom and letting him know how this is all making you feel about your sex life and what you really want to improve, and you need something from him. Like, you need him to be kind of giving a little bit here, making the effort. But you also can't make it blamey and shamey and, you know, like, why aren't you doing this and why aren't you doing that? So it's really just keeping it positive and like, I love you and I really want to connect with you, you know, during sex. I want to feel more love. And so let him know that it's something you have to both work on together. And I think that, you know, clearly he's not a mind reader. I don't like that he's hurting you with the toys. He doesn't want you to mutually masturbate. A lot of times when we're presented with new sex information, like our partner makes a request and it scares us or we don't get it, we say no. But maybe he needs some more information around it. So by you saying mutual masturbation, it would be really sexy because I'd love to watch you get off and then you could see how I touch myself. Like, maybe bringing it up again in the way of explaining things to him, like giving him a little more details, could help him kind of understand what you want to try here. you've done so many things here. And I think that having another loving conversation would feel good and see how he responds to that. But I don't know how much longer I would keep going through it if nothing seems to change. All right. Thanks for your question.
Okay. So this next one is from Mike, 57 Atlanta. Hi, Emily. My wife has orgasms using the jacuzzi water jet. Can you suggest a toy that simulates that? Thanks.
Okay, Mike, you know that a lot of women have their first orgasm in the shower or in the bathtub using like the jets. We did some research for this because I know that since this kind of stimulation for women is so popular, there's been a few companies that have tried to get like attachments for your shower head that would kind of simulate it. So I just found one by Love Honey. It's called the Drops of Sweden H2O Water Jet Showerhead Rabbit Vibrator. Now, I haven't tried this, but what it says is you attach it to your showerhead to propel a stream of water straight to your clitoris and then unleash the powerful vibrations of your G-spot for a unique blended aquagasm. So basically, it looks like a rabbit vibrator that attaches to your showerhead and can kind of give you that same kind of orgasm. The other thing is the magic wand would be good because vibrations are very strong and intense, which is what she might like about the jacuzzi jet. The womanizer is also a great clitoral stimulator, but maybe a removable shower head would be a great addition to your bathroom. I have one of those. They're amazing. And a lot of toys these days are waterproof. I think the WeVibe Tango is waterproof, so she can get one and bring it into her bathtub and shower time. But I'm kind of getting that you might want something like that Love Honey product. So let us know how that goes. Check it out.
Okay, this next one is from Rebecca. She's 33 in North Carolina, and she writes, Dear Emily, my husband and I have a great relationship, but our sex life could be better. When we have sex, it's great, yes, but we can go for like 2 to 3 weeks without, which I don't think both of us like. However, we haven't seemed to be able to fix it. First, I prefer to be submissive. Throw me on the bed and have your way with me. He wants me to initiate more as he takes my desire for submission as a lack of passion. So I feel like he avoids sex. When I do initiate, the response is either, I don't feel good, your timing is off, or even, you need to be sexier and have more confidence, or, you know, something like that. So I kind of just stopped trying. While I can talk to him about everything else, for some reason, when we talk about sex, it kind of always becomes my fault, or at least feels that way. How can we make things better? We want to have a kid and are trying, but I feel like it's never going to happen if we can't get our bedroom life at its best.
Oh, you're right, honey. I love it. Don't have a kid until you figure out the sex stuff, okay? There's a lot here because I understand it sounds like you can't win. You're trying to, when you try to initiate, he says you have to do it better and that you don't have enough confidence, which sounds like really hurtful. And when you don't do it, he says being submissive means that you don't have passion. So it sounds to me like you nailed it here, that this, you know, you said you want to have more sex conversations and they're hard, but understand that sex conversations are hard, at least at first. So be kind and patient with yourself. They're not easy conversations, but I promise you they get better with practice. So you can even say, we really need to talk about it. Like I say, outside the bedroom, you know, when you're not like in the bedroom in the middle of sex, but you got to say like, we both want to work on our sex life. I think we both agree that like, what can we do here to make us, you know, make sure that we're both satisfied? You can even explain to him that like, that your submission is not a lack of passion at all. Here's the thing. He might not really understand that, what it means by being, you know, submissive. Like there is power play, role play. Power play is a dynamic that exists in all sexual relationships. Usually at one point in a moment, there's someone who's dominant and someone who's submissive. That could switch 6 times in a sex session or just in 1 sex session, you're submissive, he's dominant. That just happens. You know, if 2 people are submissive, nothing's going to happen, right? So maybe he needs to understand that more, what that means. So like oftentimes we don't put a lot of words around it because we think they're going to get it and it's just really hard. So the more ideas you could give him, the more descriptions, the more scenarios will be a lot easier for you. And then when he wants you to initiate, my best advice for this is saying, what does that look like to him? Because if he paints a picture to you, he says, you know what? I just want you to grab me and start kissing me, or I want you to throw me on the bed. Well, then, you know, you don't have to like in your head go, what do I do? Ask him for more information. And remember, with these sex conversations, my best advice is, besides the fact of having it outside the bedroom, is that you want to make sure that it's your tone is light, and it's with coming from curiosity and love, with an effort to make things better in your relationship. That has to be about both of you. So your tone is everything. You don't want to blame. You don't want to shame. You don't want to use like, you don't do this or you don't do that. The most we can stick with I statements and how things make you feel. No one can argue with our feelings. That's what I suggest for your sex conversation. And I think, you know, scheduling sex is also important. Scheduling sex, you know, if it's just not happening enough for you guys, knowing that Saturday night is sex night can work for you. And then it's non-negotiable. If it's on your calendar, you got to do it. And that gives you, both of you, time to look forward to Saturday night, to send each other sexy texts, like what you're going to do or what's going to happen. Because a lot of what's missing is that whole buildup, that desire. And once we start putting, you know, the words and the efforts into it, you'll find that you're both really turned on for Saturday night. So those are my suggestions for you right now. Just start having the talk, and I promise it gets easier.
Mm-hmm. So this next one is from Emma, 24, in Australia. She writes, "Hey there, Emily. Love your show. I think I've listened to 20 podcasts this week. My question is, can you intensify your orgasm? I've always struggled to get there in the past, but not because I physically can't feel it, but I would start and the sensation would be so powerful that I let go too early or pull away my toy. Now, with more practice with my partner and many toys, I realize that I am getting them properly, but I feel they can get stronger and be longer. If so, what are some tips and tricks? Kegels, perhaps? I feel when I control them during my orgasm, that brings more intensity. Or should I not be thinking this and let my body go completely? Physical and mental tips are appreciated. Thank you. You're amazing."
Oh, you're amazing. Thank you, Emma. 20 podcasts this week. That is a lot of podcasts. I love it. Okay, so here's the thing. I love you. First of all, I love your drive. You're like, okay, I got this point, but what's next? I'm the same way. I never rest. I'm like, where can I take this to the next level? So I love the idea of intensifying your orgasm. So yes, let me start with Kegels. Absolutely. These Kegels help women intensify their orgasms for sure. Doing your Kegels, those are the muscles that are responsible for our climax, those muscles. So yes, the stronger they are, you can tense and relax them, pump them, you know, during intercourse, and that can help with orgasm for sure. Breath, playing with your breath, also really important. And here's different ways to play with it, is that when we pant, like during sex, like during intercourse, like you've panted, like those short, shallow breaths, those will get us aroused quickly. Like that's like a higher state of arousal. And then you could play with deeper, slower, shallow breaths. And that kind of slows down your arousal. And that's more like relaxing on your body, like the physiological level. And also when we're more relaxed in our body, then we're more sensitive and attuned to touch and all the sensations happening in our body. So either one of these, when we play with breath, can help intensify all the orgasms. I think it's also important to play with different types of touch. Remember this, that we're so used to touching ourselves in certain ways or using certain toys, and we get used to following the same neural pathways. So much like they often say, like for creativity, I don't know if you've heard this, but if you always brush your teeth with your left hand, you should use your right hand. Try a different hand when you're masturbating, or try a different toy for a new sensation. Like people are always like, oh, is my vibrator going to get me? Am I going to get too used to it? I mean, I think with everything, don't always use the same toy. So try a new toy, try different sensations. And there might be a period though of adjustment. So you got to be patient, because again, we get anxious. We like, I want the orgasm to happen. But what you're saying is, I want to intensify it. I want to experience something different. So be patient with playing with these different techniques. So you're going to get there, but you just need to take some time with it. Now, you asked physical and mental tips, and you asked about, you know, Kegels and all that. I think that the most important thing is, like, don't overthink, should I be doing my Kegels, should I not? I think Kegels are a great thing to do during sex. You'll know when you should be doing and when you shouldn't. And my best mental tip is just to get out of your head. Once you start worrying about something or you're thinking you should be just doing something different, go back to your breath. That's my best advice, is to go back to your breath and whatever you're feeling in your body and just get out of your head. So let me know how your orgasms get more intense after this, Emma. I can't wait to hear from you.
Be ambitious about your orgasms.
Ambitious. Yeah, I love it. Why aren't we all more? We all should be more ambitious about our orgasms. Okay.
Okay, so this last one comes to us from Maurice, 39, in Louisiana. Hello, Emily. What lube would you suggest for me to use on my wife that won't harm her or me when I'm giving her oral? What's the best cock ring that would not just help me, but pleasure... but pleasure my wife when I'm wearing it. And last thing, what's the name of the spray that could help me not orgasm so fast? Thank you for your show.
All right. Okay, Maurice. I love it. Sounds like you are an avid listener. These are very specific questions, and I'm going to help you out. When you say harm, you want a lube that won't harm her, I assume because you have sensitive skin. So I recommend Pure Water-Based Formula, PJUR. Those are pretty simple, straightforward water-based formulas, or System Joe water-based formulas are great. For penis rings, I love the WeVibe Pivot. It has a great vibrator on it, a great vibe, great motor, and vibrations can feel good to you too. I also like the Hot Octopus Atom Plus. That's also great for clitoral stimulation. And I would just go on our site and check them out. Like the Hot Octopus Atom Plus is a larger one. And I think it's cool because it's just a bigger toy. So it has more surface area that would allow to target her clitoris more. And so like if she's on top grinding on you, I think it's cool, but it's bigger. So the Pivot is just a little smaller, but they're all powerful vibrations. The spray you're asking about is Promescent, Promescent, and it's a quickly absorbing delay spray. It uses a little bit of lidocaine, and it'll help you last longer in bed. There you go. You can find this all on our website. Oh, and I forgot to mention at the top of the show that I am on SiriusXM Satellite Radio, you guys, which has been so exciting the last few months. You can check it out at I'm on Monday through Friday. I'm on 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 10 East. And it's pretty cool, 2 hours a night. And you guys could get a free subscription to it if you want to go to sexwithemily.com/SXM. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I love you all. Thanks to my incredible team, growing every day. Ken, Samantha, Julia, Michelle, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.